Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Wear a Batman costume and hang out in Mike Golic Jr.'s attic one time, and he just never stops talking about it. That's all I'm saying. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and of course, on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. This voice, this crackling, screeching, prepubescent voice, is obviously not the sultry tones you're used to of Mike Golic Jr. or Janae Ogumike. I'm Jason Fitz, and today, Matt Jones hanging out with me. I am excited for this. It's the first time you can tweet us, by the way, at Jason Fitz and at KY Sports Radio. It's first time, Matt, that we've gotten to hang out. And we're going to get to precedent and why I think it's particularly important with one of the biggest stories of the day. But before we get to any of that precedent conversation, I have to tell the world a secret that I have learned about you in our limited minutes hanging out. And that is, the TV audience can't see you, but you have the most books I've ever seen for any person behind you. Are you a big reader, or are you just worried that the world's going to come to an end and you might need to set a good fire?
I'm a big reader. I enjoy reading. I also enjoy having books. Like, the next generation of people, they're not going to have books to read because they all read on their Kindles and all that. And I enjoy having books. And, you know, I'm excited to be here with you because I asked ESPN Radio. I said, I'd love to do a show with the best fiddle player at ESPN. And then they told me Seth Greenberg wasn't available. So I got right. You, and I'm very excited about that. And it should be a lot of fun. And if you're nice at the end of this, I'll give you one of these books.
Look, I'm all in for that. By the way, I'm the guy that, you know, goes out every year still to this day to Barnes & Noble, and I get, like, the Phil Steele magazine. Like, I don't want it digitally. No, I want pages where I can highlight things and read things.
Phil Steele magazine because you want to test your eyesight. That man writes in the smallest print. He uses no spaces. I like it because that guy has chosen everything they teach you about how to write. He's not interested in any of it. I'm going to write as tiny as I can, and I'm going to have every stat, and if you have the Phil Steele magazine, I would also suggest getting bifocals if you're going to end up reading it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We're going to get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, if that isn't already enough. And the Straight Talk comes in the form of Deshaun Watson. Now, obviously, we've been watching the Texans for how they handle this situation. And I think it's important to note that this situation doesn't have precedent. One thing I always say is you got to look and say, well, how have they handled these sorts of things in the past? How would they handle a player in this scenario in the past? Who would do what, and what are the processes that are involved? Especially for me, when it comes to anytime you're talking about a player that's part of a union that collectively bargains and the way that they negotiate with the league. So I look at everything in all sports as where's the precedent? But I'm not sure there is any, because realistically, we're trying to figure out in a world where the Texans have had him skip practice and now he's back at practice and they're not sure if they're going to play him. He may get some action. Like, this message changes constantly. But I'm not sure that they're in a situation where it can't change, because you're talking about somebody right now facing 23 completely different civil counts from 23 completely different people, also at least looking at a criminal investigation. And we keep thinking, okay, what's it mean for football? But Matt, I'm not sure we can even get to the football portion of what it means, because right now it feels to me like he's completely untouchable for all sides because of all of the legal proceedings that are still just sitting here pending.
Well, there's a lot of things at play here, and there's a big difference in the law between civil and criminal liability. And if there was a criminal charge against Deshaun Watson, then I think not only would he not be playing, he would be suspended by the league throughout the process of the charge. There's a criminal investigation, but so far no result. And then you have these 23 civil charges of things, or civil complaints, of things that are very serious and that are things that would make people not want to have him on the field. So it's very tough. The NFL has to figure out, what do we do with this guy? I don't think they can suspend him without there being a criminal, at least a criminal charge. So then there are these civil complaints. Well, you know, what do you do with those? I mean, right now, this is a tough position for Houston or for any team to figure out what to deal with. If you put him on the field, then you're going to have to deal with the fact that there are going to be depositions coming up later where you may hear some things that are awful. I don't know how Houston can play. They may decide to do it, and if they do, okay, but I don't know how they can. But they also can't really suspend him because there's no criminal charge. So I think it's a limbo that is very difficult for any team to figure out how to navigate.
Now, one thing I think everybody should know is, you know, I'm proud of my past as a fiddle player. That doesn't take a lot of education, just a lot of hours alone in a bedroom questioning the moments in your life. You have an incredible past as an attorney. So when you say the differences here, I think that that should be noted. I would ask you from your mindset in that scenario, because as you point out, there aren't any criminal charges filed right now. But we do have a past with the NFL where Roger Goodell has basically been given the ability to be judge, jury, and executioner however he see fit. I thought they would change that in the newest CBA. They didn't. So is there not some spot here where Roger Goodell comes in and says, hey, I've looked at this, and in legal terms, it feels icky. And because it feels icky, we're just going to put him on the exempt list where he can still get paid, doesn't count against anybody, and we can just let this work out. A little bit like what the Dodgers have been trying to figure out with Bauer.
Yeah, but the difference with the Dodgers is there's a criminal investigation where it is further along. I mean, there are complaints from a criminal perspective that are being investigated, and there is a complainant who is bringing it out. That's not happening in the Deshaun Watson case. A lot of these 23 are not even talking to the police. They're only doing their civil thing, and that makes it much more difficult for the NFL. I think you have to be careful. It is icky. But icky is not in the collective bargaining agreement. And I think you have to remember that when you're looking at dealing with the union, icky is not enough. And that's why, by the way, he's still there. You know, I mean, this is not even a Ray Rice situation where they go, you can't be there. He's still there. I mean, he's on the practice field sometimes. And it's because under the collective bargaining agreement, to use your terminology, icky is not enough. There's got to be something beyond icky. And with no criminal complaint, there isn't, at least in the eyes of the NFL. And that's why everybody is in such a tough position. I'm not sure legally if they could suspend him right now. I mean, they could, but I think you'd be asking for a union challenge. And I think if that's why I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they can play him, though, because if they play him and you're in the middle of the season and something comes out, I don't, it just ruins your team. So I don't know what they do.
This is what Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, said this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin about the status and where they are with Deshaun Watson within the Texans organization.
I'm not concerned about the questions about whether he'll be ready for week one. It is early enough in camp that if Saquon is on the field, it's still clear that Watson wants out. It's still clear that eventually we're going to have to learn something about his discipline. And it's still clear that the Texans are wise to not unload him for a low ball offer from any team without knowing exactly what the discipline on Watson will be.
And, you know, Darlington says there, Jason, that they're wise not to unload him. I don't know how you trade for him right now. I mean, how could you look? I don't care what they're asking you to give up. How do you look at your fan base and trade for this guy when you don't know the resolution of this? So I think everybody is in a limbo, and a lot of people hope there'll be resolution before the season starts, but I don't think there will be.
That's some straight talk. Straight talk wireless. No contract, no compromise. I constantly remind everybody that every single person that works within an NFL organization is, at the end of the day, a human being. I cannot imagine a person sitting down with their family trying to explain at some point when all of this deposition happens and details start to emerge. If those details are as bad as they could be, you're going to have to sit at your dining room table and you're going to have to explain to your family why you were willing to risk your future employment to go to get this guy. And that's why I think it's hard for any GM to figure out how to acquire him. It's hard for the Texans to figure out how to trade him. And Deshaun Watson can want out all day long. But unfortunately, people in hell want ice water too. Like, you can want all day long. It's not going to make it happen. We'll keep it. We'll keep the discussion going on Deshaun Watson, of course. But we got to get to an Olympic topic next. How's it feel to be one of, if not the best athletes in the world in your sport? We'll ask somebody that's coming straight off of Tokyo and knows that feeling better than most next. Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. Of course, also on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jason Fitz, Matt Jones in for Chinay and Mike. You can tweet us at Jason Fitz and at KY Sports Radio. You can also get in on the phone. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get back into some of our discussions as the show goes on, but we want to head straight over to the Goodyear Hotline because we're fresh off of Tokyo, and one of the most dominating and electric performances that the entire nation watched was Caleb Dressel, Olympic gold medal winning swimmer. He's joining us now. Caleb, man, 5 Olympic gold medals just in Tokyo. When you think back on that, when does it set in how much you were able to accomplish at the Olympics?
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me. This means a lot. I've been a little bit busy, but more than happy to talk to everybody. I enjoyed my time in Tokyo. It was actually my second time there. Both times, you know, the country and the people have been so great to me, being a guest in their country. You know, I think after coming off a meet like that, it's always going to have a special place in my heart. But, you know, it's really quite simple. You know, I came there with a goal. I didn't have any perfect swims. I thought I executed as well as I could. I'm certainly happy with how I did and how I raced and how the team raced. You know, I think that's what makes these trips so special for me. It's not just about the racing, but really coming together as Team USA. I mean, I got plenty of stories from camp, and those are really most of the highlights. The racing takes care of itself. The racing's the fun part. It's the part that everybody gets to see. But I get to hang out with some of the fastest people in the world, you know, play cards together, walk around the village together, hang out, eat lunch. So that's the special part for me. So to end it with, you know, coming home with some hardware, of course, is special, and that was certainly the goal, but definitely not the highlight.
You know, Caleb, I'm a Kentucky fan, so in order for me to be as cheering for you as much as I was when you went to Florida, that's very difficult for me. But I did it because I enjoyed watching you, and part of what was so impressive was the way you would – you know, you would swim one discipline and then 45 minutes later have to do a different stroke. And I just want to ask you, as somebody who's not a swimmer, how difficult is that to go, okay, this is going to be a freestyle race, but I got to get ready for the butterfly, and to do it like that in such a quick turnaround as it was in Tokyo?
Yeah, I'll give you actually something kind of funny, but hey, I appreciate you cheering for me. I know that must have broke your heart, but when I'm competing at the games, of course I'm a Gator, but more importantly, I'm competing under the United States flag.
And I didn't see a Gator chomp. If I had seen a Gator chomp, I'm not sure I could have done it, but you held it off.
And I totally understand. Totally understandable. Yeah, it's tough. You know, you can give yourself a pat on the back after a good race. If it's a bad race, give yourself a pity party, and then you got to move on. It's actually kind of funny. Before every race, you can catch it on camera. I actually look at the scoreboard to make sure I'm about to swim the race I'm thinking I'm about to swim, just because I do have quite a few swims. I want to make sure I don't embarrass myself on TV or anything. So I look at the scoreboard just to reassure that I am swimming the race that I'm thinking I'm diving in swimming. So it gets a little hectic, but you got to pace yourself. You know, any energy you're putting out, any mental energy, of course, physical energy, but you really got to pace it. You know, throughout the games, I wouldn't even pop up on the side of the, or just right out of the pool. I would take the ladder. I look like an old man, but conserving energy, I possibly could. You know, instead of taking the stairs, you take the elevators. I'm only 24, but if you would have watched me walk around and how I'm getting out of the pool, I look like a 90-year-old. But any energy you're using or putting out, you really got to be aware of.
When you're standing on the podium and the anthem's playing, but you know you got another race to swim, what's your mindset doing in that moment?
Well, in that moment, I want to take in everything that I possibly can. You know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, and I don't want to dwell on the past either. So in that moment, you know, watching the flag go up, there's no other feeling like it. It was a little bit different this year, having my family back home, and, you know, knowing that they're supporting me. So it was a little bit different this year, you know, not seeing – you know, my people in the stands around me and the people who have supported. So it was tough not having that aspect of it, but just taking in every bit of the moment that I could. You know, I didn't have my people there, and that's fine. You know, watching that flag go up, knowing they're supporting me back home, that's the best I could have asked for in that situation, and that's the best I had, and that's all I could control in that moment. So I like to live in the moment, not dwell on the past, and that's very important when you have back-to-back races, but I don't want to skip over watching that flag go up. You know, there's nothing else like it.
Well, the video of your family watching was one of the highlights through the whole thing, but I do have to ask you, for someone in a sport like yours, every 4 years, I mean, there's this massive moment, and you can talk about, you know, hanging out, and I'm sure that was awesome, but I always think that's got to be so much pressure. You work your whole life, and here you get once every 4 years for this massive moment. Does that pressure ever become, maybe not overwhelming, but something that really weighs on you, or do you just try to use it to thrive?
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try to sugarcoat it. Yeah, of course I know the pressure is there. You know, it's brutal. I have one meet every 4 years, You know, I have world championships, but I know that, you know, the image that the Olympics brings, and that's when people care about swimming, and I'm fine with that. You know, I care about swimming every year, every day, and people really only tune in every 4 years. So I had, I'm at my prime age, I'm 24 years old. Every 4 years, this meet that happens for a race that lasts less than, or lasts around 40 something seconds. It's brutal. You got to be on to a specific 10th every time you step up to the blocks for, you know, training my whole life for this one moment. So yeah, I'm very aware of the pressure that a moment like that brings, but that's also what makes it so exciting when you can execute how well you want, when you can race against the fastest in the world. You know, it's exciting. I don't want to take a moment like swimming in a final at the Olympics for granted, you know, whether or not I get my hand on the wall first or not. Of course that's the goal. Of course I'm going to race as tough as I can. I'm going to execute as well as I can in that moment with how my mind and how my body's feeling. But yeah, brutal. Hopefully you ate the right foods. You know, you've got to control as many scenarios and as many situations as you can, as many outlets you can get your hand on to give you that tenth that's going to make you faster. Yeah, it's brutal, but that's also what makes it that much more exciting.
Caleb, part of the reason you're busy isn't just because you won 5 Olympic golds in Tokyo 2020. You're also doing work with a bunch of companies. Tell us who you're working with today.
Oh, gosh, yeah. My sponsors have been great. You know, you mentioned my family back in Orlando. You know, Toyota was a huge reason for that. All the Team Dressel shirts, you know, Toyota taking care of my family. There was like 55 people there, I think, at one point. And we're only allowed 2. So my mom kind of pulled, I think, about 53 strings there. But just having my circle supporting me, you know, my sponsors along the way, you know, Toyota, that's the reason I can do what I love to do. You know, racing's fun and all, but I got to pay the bills at the end of the day. And I'm in quite a lucky situation to where this day and age, I can put on a good show in the water. And I can also get home, go enjoy my life, go enjoy myself. But it was great. You know, Toyota taking care of my family in Orlando there with how many people we had. I was jealous. All the stories I heard of when I got back home, I would have liked to have been in Orlando hanging out with a good group of people watching the Olympics. That sounds fun. But I had to do the hard work so everyone back home can enjoy themselves. But it really was a treat. You know, even I never got to see it, but apparently they had a Supra that was painted after my tattoos. I never got to see in person. So I hope they held on to that for me because I'm back home in my groove. Maybe I can finally check that thing out.
Man, on behalf of everybody that enjoyed watching you, it was absolutely an incredible journey to watch you swim. Also, as somebody that's tatted up myself, man, your line work and color work's really amazing. Good job by you. I appreciate you joining us.
Tweet out that car. I want to see the car with all your tattoos. If you get that, send that out.
We got to get that out there.
I give it a Google. It's got to be on Google somewhere. I think they've Toyota posted a couple pictures. She did a good job. I don't know the artist's name, but she absolutely nailed it.
We'll figure it out. We'll see if we can find it. Caleb, congratulations, man. Thanks for the time. Congratulations on everything, and great job representing yourself and this country so beautifully in Tokyo. Thanks for your time, man.
Of course. I appreciate it, boys.
That's an Olympic gold medal winning swimmer, Caleb Dressel, joining us there. Great stuff from him, and again, a joy to watch him compete in Tokyo. All right. Everybody says that it's a given every single year. Bama is going to be in the championship game. I'm not sure we agree with that. We've got reason for concern for the Tide. We'll tell you about it next. But first, finding the perfect hire can feel like searching for a needle in a bottomless haystack of resumes. Indeed, makes hiring fast and simple with 135 skills tests to help candidates prove they have the experience your job requires. My only hope is that reading isn't one of the skill tests for this job, because that's hit and miss for me. Their powerful hiring platform even helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right on their site, which is probably why Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. That's good. To learn more about finding your next great hire, all you got to do is visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. How much credit should we be giving the Tide coming into this college football season? We have an answer that might surprise you, and we'll tell you about it next. Janae Golick Jr., ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
If you happen to think that the college football playoff lacks some level of unpredictability, Just wait until you see the preseason polls, which are every bit as straight down the middle as you would think. But what if it isn't quite that simple? What if there's actual drama and intrigue to be had at the top of the polls coming into this college football season? It's Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and because, frankly, we're oh so pretty, it's also on ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz hanging out with Matt Jones. You can tweet us at Jason Fitz at KY Sports Radio. Now, both of us happen to be part of markets or shows that cover a lot of college football. So I'm always excited when I can talk to other people that love and live in the space. Now, it's easy to look at the preseason poll that has come out and from the coaches and see that Alabama's an overwhelming number one and say, okay, everything's going to be just that easy for Alabama. But I'm not sure that's the case. By the way, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Matt, I would argue that the road ahead this year for Alabama might be tougher than we're giving it credit for, and that could be a reason enough for us to think that maybe Bama won't just have their way with the rest of the college football world.
Well, first of all, I'm glad we're talking about this because college football is the most undercovered sport in media. I mean, it's the second biggest sport in America. People don't realize that, but it is. Look at ratings, look at anything else. The NFL is the only thing that people care about more than college football, but it doesn't get talked about as much as it should, and it should because Alabama is a dynasty unlike anything we've ever seen. But this year, I don't think they're going to win it. And the reason is, for the first time in the last 5 years or so, they are in danger during the regular season. Because everything in college football, Jason, you know this, everything is about schedule. Like, it's all about schedule. Part of the reason Clemson's going to be in the playoff is their schedule. They don't play anybody. So, like, it doesn't matter. They can lose that first game to Georgia, and it won't matter because they don't play anybody the rest of the entire season. For Alabama this year, for the first time, their schedule has some difficult parts. They're at Florida. They're at Texas A&M. They're at Auburn, even though Auburn's not great. It's a rivalry game. And they play Miami. And that's in addition to playing LSU and Tuscaloosa. So having to play those road games, because to me, anyone can lose on the road. At home, you win. But going to Florida and going to A&M, if you were to lose both those, and they could, that could actually leave you in danger of making it. So I think for the first time, if you're Nick Saban or if you're a Tide fan, you can look at that schedule and go, you know what? There is some regular season danger here that they don't normally feel absent a major upset.
The only thing that I would counter that with is, in this scenario, if they lose one of those games, let's say they lose to A&M or they lose to Florida, you're talking about right now A&M number 6, Florida number 11. This becomes that constant argument of, is a one-loss Alabama team still just going to be the other team in the playoffs? And I think most of us believe the answer to that is squarely yes. I mean, I think there's two elements, though, that make this difficult for Bama. One, your point is the schedule. Two is also just the way we perceive quarterbacks. Now, I know everybody that goes to Bama has success, but I'm looking squarely, if we're talking about national championship level, I'm looking squarely at Clemson and saying, what the heck else does Clemson have to do to get the same level of benefit of the doubt that Bama gets? Because to your point, Clemson doesn't play anybody, and DJ Uiagalelei has already shown us how he can play, and I just wanted to brag that I can still say that name. So realistically, I'm looking at Clemson over here saying, my God, why aren't we the one everybody's 63 out of 65 first place votes?
Well, they don't, because they're not the best team. I mean, like, they have the best chance of making the playoffs. So if you were to say to me, pick one team that you know will be in the playoff, I'll take Clemson. I'll take them over Alabama. I'll take them over Oklahoma. But if you're telling me the one team that's going to win, I'm not picking Clemson. I'm still probably picking Alabama, and I'd probably put Oklahoma second. Clemson is good, but they're not as good as the rest of these teams. Look, they're not. They're going to take a downstep in quarterback. They just are. And Alabama's going to play. Part of the thing is, if they get through that schedule, they're going to be the best team. We know that. So the game, though, to watch is Alabama at Texas A&M. Because the problem in the SEC West is, if you lose to the team, they have the tiebreaker over you. That's the problem. And if Alabama were to lose to A&M, A&M, without collapsing, will be in the SEC championship game, and Alabama won't. And that makes it a little harder. Now, Alabama's done it before. The year LSU beat them, they ended up still making the playoff because that was their only loss. But the Alabama at A&M game, you remember Jimbo Fisher during the offseason spoke to some group and said, we're going to kick their tail. They're going to know that in Alabama. But that's the game, if you're a Tide fan, you think, got to be careful.
I don't know, though. I always look at that and think this is where the College Football Playoff Committee, which is maddening to try and predict it just in general, but it's where the committee turns around and says, I can see right now at the end of the year where we're going to be having these arguments, these straw man arguments about, well, you know, they're not playing in the SEC championship game, but look what they did to Florida, and Florida's
they will,
the top 16. Like, we're going to be having
in.
That. We're
Clemson's in. Right? Just go ahead and put them in because they're not going to play anybody. All right, Ohio State is in because they don't really play anybody. So there's two. The SEC winner is going to be three. And if it's not Alabama, are they going to not take Oklahoma, who's probably only going to lose one game or no games? I think this year, if they were to lose to A&M, which is different, if they were, they wouldn't make it.
Yeah, that's the intrigue that the college football season is going to give us. I'll say this. No matter what we think of whether or not Bama is going to be there, it's not going to be easy. And the last few years have been easy. So I'm looking forward to the drama we get. And shameless plug, by the way, you can check out College Football Show on Saturday nights and the College Football Wrap-Up Show on Saturday nights. Wherever you consume your ESPN digital content, I'll be hanging out with Harry Douglas. That's a small portion of the college football work I'll be doing. I get those plugs in around here, Matt. Like, when I have the opportunity to tell people where to chase my work.
Is that former Louisville guy, Harry Douglas?
Oh, that is my brother from another mother, Harry Douglas.
Harry
yes.
Douglas, and just so you know, was an intern at my law firm back in the day, and now he's working with you. Isn't that crazy? Look at how life has changed.
I need you to send me a T-shirt of that law firm so that I can present it to him on air, just so that he doesn't forget his
Frost Brown
his
Todd.
Roots.
Bring it up to him. He'll remember.
All right, up next, will Zach Wilson be the number week one starters? All right, in New York, we'll give you everything you need to know about Jets camp. But first, everyone likes shopping online, but searching for coupon codes is kind of a bummer. And I'm cheap. Like, the amount of time I spend searching for these codes cannot be worth it. So make saving online a breeze with Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping is a free tool that instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Because you know you're doing it. Like, you're looking in your email trying to find that 15% off you got somewhere you didn't use. Just download Capital One Shopping to your computer. Let it do the work for you. So easy. And you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. Capital One Shopping, it's kind of genius. What's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons vary. There's nothing varied about what we expect from the Jets week one. Is there? Zach Wilson, will he start? We'll tell you next. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Matt Jones, Jason Fitz, sitting in. Wow, Jason Fitz sitting in. I'm going to learn how to speak, Matt. Like, I've been doing really well our first hour trying to show off. Like, you got a new house guest. We haven't worked together before. I want you to know how pro I really think I am. I've been reading pretty well. Like, feel like it's sort of been good. And then all of a sudden, I blow that one, Matt. So now, like,
well,
now
your
we're,
last
we're,
name. I mean, why would you be able to pronounce that?
This is that spot where now I just farted in front of company, and this is where the rest of the day is going to go. So, and there's no easy way to transition. We're having a little bit of fun doing three and out. Everybody's looking at training camps right now on ESPN Radio, but this show is doing it different by asking three questions about each team that we look at. We're going to start up next with this team.
The New York Jets.
Look at that. I even knew the layout.
That was really good. Like, I like the fact that you paused, and then we got the voice from on high saying, the New York Jets. It made it feel so official.
I'm making up for that, like, living room gas pass. All right, Bob Wischus and the New York Jets and ESPN play-by-play announcer joining us. Bob, save me from myself here. We're going to ask you three questions, and we will start with this one.
Number three.
Will Zach Wilson be the week one starter, Bob?
As a jumping off point, you got my name right. But that's pretty good.
That's not one step at a time, my friend.
Yeah, good job. Baby steps. Not enough O's and smooth. yes, Zach Wilson will be the day one starter, barring injury. I mean, there's no one else in camp to remotely challenge him for the job.
All right, should I pause so we can say number two here?
I'm going to ask him a quick follow-up. Will he be any good week one?
Well, that remains to be seen. It's been a roller coaster through the first couple of weeks of practice, but he's a rookie. I mean, I think that answer can change from possession to possession with a rookie. So I will say this. He shows that amnesia you need to show as a young quarterback. Like, he definitely has that kind of I got this quality about him, and I think that will serve him well here. But he'll make his mistakes, there's no doubt.
Well, let's go to the next question.
Number two.
That worked out really well. I like that. I'm actually going to alter what I was going to ask you before and say I watched Zach Wilson on draft night. He looks so fresh-faced and nice. He's from Utah, which everybody's so nice in Utah. And then he gets thrown in New York. There's a sort of a tumultuous offseason with weird things going on. And then he has his first scrimmage. Doesn't go great. Do you think there's just the culture fit? Forget the talent. The culture fit between Zach Wilson and the Jets is a good one long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this coaching staff is really going to embrace him. He's a young quarterback. They're a young coaching staff. I mean, the general manager obviously believes in him. He's kind of staking his reputation to taking him with the second pick. And if you do like a Google Earth of where the Jets complex is, we like stick these kids out in the burbs. Like, they're not anywhere near Manhattan. If they want to go to Manhattan, they can. But it's not like they're playing at Madison Square Garden and they have to walk down Fifth Avenue to get to work. I mean, they're kind of out in the woods. So he's probably got about as much of a Utah feel as he could living out in Florham Park, 45 minutes away from the city.
I think that's the only time anybody's ever compared any part of Jersey to Utah. All right, Bob, let's get to the last question on the docket.
Number one.
What actually constitutes a successful season for this year's New York Football Jets?
You know, I think it's an eye test argument. They won two games last year. So people keep asking me this. How many do they have to win this year for it to be a good year? I'm not putting a win total on it. I mean, if they win seven, it's a good year. But if they win six, it's a bad year. I think it's just play competitive football. Like, look like the arrow's pointing up. Look confident. And last year it seemed when they lost, they would lose, 20-3 or 27-6 and just not be competitive. So this year, even if you lose the game 31-24, have it in the fourth quarter with a chance. Be competitive. Just look like you're making progress. And I think that's something that you'll be able to see that may not necessarily be reflected in the win-loss total. But I'm hoping that at least as the year goes on, Jet fans will see the arrow pointing up and have a belief that they kind of have a core of young players they think they can build around.
Follow him on Twitter, at ESPN Bob. Listen to him with the Jets and obviously across all of the ESPN platforms. Bob Wischusen, always appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy the season. Hope you got some rest this summer.
It is nice to be on with a professional broadcaster, Fitz. I appreciate it.
You know what? I'm glad that people are noticing.
You know, Bob, there's two people on this show. I mean, the professional broadcaster and then the other guy. That's fine. I understand.
I'm not 100% sure he wasn't saying you weren't the professional, though. I'm not sure how that went there. Like, now that he's off the phone, I'm not sure if I was getting the compliment or the dig there.
I think you got the compliment. But, he makes a really good point. I hadn't thought about the fact that the Jets actually do put their facility as far away from the city as possible. I still think, though, the New York media, that kid looks like such a nice person. They're going to eat him up at some point. They just are.
There is a real life, real world transition too that comes from moving your whole family. I talked to a couple of kids after the draft and it was like, oh, I've never left the state of Virginia. Now I got to find an apartment in Minnesota. Like, I know teams help with that, but I think we as a general football society just take for granted that you can move from anywhere to anywhere and suddenly be successful. I think patience is a real virtue with Zach Wilson moving forward. I'm not going to judge him based on anything this season. All right. Speaking of judgments, have we seen something that has us clued into who the steal of the...
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.